That, though, is not the centerpiece of the dialogue. The centerpiece occurs after that. It becomes Socrates' turn to speak. He speaks actually right after Agathon, who speaks an eloquent little piece, but, as Socrates claims, "Gee, Agathon, I thought we were supposed to tell the truth, and your piece is awfully beautiful, but it's not true." He then goes on to tell, Socrates then goes on to tell what he at least claims is the truth. It's not too hard to raise some questions, though, because the account he gives of love is an account he received from a woman whose name he gives as Diotima, which is an interesting name. There is no independent evidence that Diotima ever existed. Most people think she doesn't. Most people think that we're supposed to know she doesn't, and Socrates, for whatever reason, is making her up as a mouthpiece. She's differently gendered, but a tip-off is her name, which means honor or worship of the gods. So this is, by extension or by implication, a voice coming to Socrates from a divine being. And what Socrates does in purportedly quoting Diotima is set up a route by which he claims you can move from erotic love of another person, in this instance, a boy, but it could be heterosexual as well, and rise from that love to full contemplative enlightenment. This is the notion, which I think is a familiar notion to us, that there is or can be something redemptive in love. That love is or can be not only destructive, erotic love, as it clearly can be, but also, in at least some guises, it can be a route to the deepest truth and deepest, most profound satisfaction that lies open to us. That, in any case, is Socrates' claim. Let me quote, and bear with me. I'll do my best to read excitingly, but it's a fairly long passage, so strap on your seatbelt. "This is what it is to go aright, or be led by another, into the mystery of love. One goes always upwards for the sake of beauty, starting out from beautiful things, and using them like rising stairs from one body to two, and from two to all beautiful bodies, then from beautiful bodies to beautiful customs, and from customs to learning beautiful things, and from these lessons he arrives in the end at this lesson. All of a sudden, he'll catch sight of something wonderfully beautiful in its nature. That, Socrates, is the reason for all his earlier labors. First, it always is, and neither comes to be, nor passes away, neither waxes nor wanes. Second, it's not beautiful in this way and ugly in that, nor beautiful at one time and ugly or another, but beautiful at all times and at all ways. And when a person comes to see this beauty, only then will it become possible for him to give birth not to images of virtue, but to true virtue. The love of the gods belongs to anyone who's given birth to true virtue and nourished it. And if any human being could become immortal, it would be he, the person who has seen that beauty. The person, and now I speak in my own person, and not as Diotima or Socrates or Plato, a person who has risen from love and contemplation of beauty in one person to beauty in general to an apprehension of beauty absolute, which is, for Plato, also the good and true, the ground of being, and, for him, the source of not images of virtue, but true virtue, genuinely good actions.